the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, how we start to see the bigger picture, by the Most Reverend Archbishop John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. As today's gospel opens, Jesus is riding his donkey down the hill into Jerusalem. This is an event that takes place on Palm Sunday, so it seems to be a bit out of season here in summertime. But what we are concentrating on here is not what the ride is leading up to, but what Jesus is saying as he looks out at the city. What happened to Jesus in Holy Week was no surprise to him. His Father told him he was going to have to die, and the Transfiguration tried to show the disciples that the Old Testament said, that he was going to have to die. That's why I threw in the Transfiguration column. Tomorrow's Transfiguration. If he had not had those two powerful witnesses, Jesus could hardly have been optimistic about the treatment he was about to receive. He did not so much have a pessimistic view of human nature as he had a realistic view of human nature. As St. John puts it, he knew what was in man. Today, he is concerned less about what is going to happen to him than about what is going to happen to Jerusalem, because its citizens are going to reject him. He says, "Thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Jesus is prophesying the complete destruction of Jerusalem, which is going to take place at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD, about 40 years after today's scene. He says the city will be destroyed because the people were too blind to understand what was going on when he came to them. His prophecy is much more like saying, if you play with fire, you're going to get your fingers burned. Then it is like predicting who is going to win the Super Bowl 50 years from now. When the Jews reject him, it will set in motion a series of events that will lead to inevitable calamity. They are too blind to see the bigger picture. God wants us to be able to see the bigger pictures. He doesn't want us to go through life experiencing everything that happens to us as a series of random events, which have no coherence and no pattern and no meaning. Part of what it means to believe in one God is to believe that everything that happens to us is contributing to the unfolding of a bigger picture. God promises us that when we come face to face with him at the end, we shall be able to look back on everything and see the bigger picture fully completed. That is really something to look forward to. But he wants us to cultivate the ability to see the bigger picture now, and not just wait to have it dumped on us at the last day. The main tool God has given us to see the bigger picture is the Bible. The Bible is the narrative story of God's activity, first in the history of Israel, then in the life of Jesus and the first century church, culminating in the story of the end of all things in the book of Revelation. The Bible shows us that God works in characteristic and consistent ways most of the time. We can look at the ways he acts in the Bible and then begin to see that he is also acting that way in our lives. That is how we start to see the bigger picture. The acute ability to see the patterns and the bigger picture in the things that happen is called the gift of prophecy, one of the 9 special gifts of the Holy Spirit St. Paul enumerates in today's epistle. Later on, In 1 Corinthians, he will say that among the nine, the gift of prophecy is the most important one, simply because it can have an impact on the greatest number of people. The Old Testament prophets were able to look at what was happening and see God's hand in it. We call them prophets not because they spent all their time predicting the future, but because they interpreted events in terms of God's will and in light of his unfolding plan. There is a sense in which we all need to ask the Holy Ghost to help us to be prophets. We need to have some sense of the meaning of what is going on in our lives. We grow in our Christian understanding when we can ask such things as, why has God let this thing happen to me? And what is God trying to tell me by what is happening in my life? And then be able, by grace and through an understanding of the scriptures, to begin to have answers. Jesus completes his prophetic activity this morning by going into the temple and throwing out the money changers. Here again, he is proclaiming the existence of a bigger picture. The money changers were there to turn regular money into special temple money, the only kind of money that worshipers could offer. Instead of being content to play the roles God had set out for them, the money changers exacted exorbitant exchange rates. What was supposed to be a service to the people of God turned into a scam. The money changers ignored the bigger picture, what God wanted, and did instead what they wanted. That is why Jesus had to cast them out of the temple. They did not know the time of their visitation either. They did not know what was going on, because they blinded themselves to the bigger picture. Let us ask God not to let that ever happen to us. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.